This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anthony Lima, Garrett Bush, in for Ken Carmen today. Hour number two. We're loaded because we got Danny Cunningham coming up in 20 minutes to talk more Cavs. Also, Daryl Ryder at 8 o'clock. Got a bevy of things to talk to Daryl about. We've also got Mitch, who was at the Madness second half of the show. In fact, I guess Mitch got a chance to talk to a special guest at the Cavs game who might have, at the NCAA tournament, I should say, who might have a little more information on what Aaron Rodgers is going to do next. Wow. So we will get, how's that for a tease? We'll get to that a little bit later on. 216-474-0092. Garrett, what do you want the Browns taking number two?
Well, you broke the ice on that, man.
But I only ask because I might have flip-flopped again. 2 months ago, I was all in on Shador at number two. I did say, with the caveat of, I got to hear what people say after the combine when everybody gets together and they have drinks, the truth serum comes out, and I didn't like what I was hearing about where basically every scout seemed to have Shador all at once. It was almost all, either they were all getting together to sabotage Shador, or it was like, man, he really is a lower first round, second round graded guy. And then I said, I think I might be out. I might be out on him at number two. And then Garrett, after hearing the options, after waiting for Russell Wilson,
yeah,
or having to trade something for Kirk Cousins, who I don't even know. I need a physical. Like, I need somebody to actually tell me that his shoulder and his body is conducive for playing football at his age. I think it might be back on Shador Sanders.
Man, listen. I feel like when I watch TV and I watch these guys tell us that we need the grade on that person isn't good. We need to go back to the drawing board. Maybe wait till next year, figure it out. The next year's class going to be better. It feels like you're that guy, right? And all your buddies are married, and you're still out on a Wednesday night just hunting. Just looking, you end up at a Taco Bell at 3 a.m. You got to go to work the next day. And then you tell your buddies, man, I think I might settle down. I find this nice girl. She's really cool. She fits the description. We get along well, and my parents like her. And they're like, no, don't do it, buddy. Stay out of it. Just make sure, hey, listen, play the long game. And you're like, dude, what's the long game? I'm 40. I don't get to go out and hang out. And when I'm hanging out, there's nobody out there. I got to do my own laundry. I'm cleaning in my own crib. And what exactly is this long game? So while everybody else got their quarterbacks, doing whatever the hell they want to, they tell us, wait till next year.
You ever heard of something like that, Lima?
No, not me. I'd be speaking from experience, but like the reality of the situation is, give me the quarterback, bro. Like, listen, if you miss, it ain't like it is before. I've seen the Philadelphia Eagles miss a bunch of times, and they keep going back, chomping at the bit. I've seen people miss on Patrick Mahomes. Somebody told, if you go back, watch this, they said Josh Allen, at best, according to PFF, was a poor man's Baker Mayfield. I heard Todd McShay say out of his mouth that there was no way that Jalen Hurts is taking the Philadelphia Eagles or any other team to the Super Bowl. He's been there twice since he gave that prognosis. So my thing is, yeah, if you want to wait for the consensus, you're going to be waiting for a while, because in that case, you wouldn't have took Patrick Mahomes. Go back and watch what they said about Patrick Mahomes. Now, I could be wrong about Shedeur Sanders. I could be completely wrong. He could be garbage. But here's what I am correct. Here's where I come out, and I feel like this is not refutable. You had Joe Thomas, first ballot Hall of Famer, never sniffed the playoffs. Never played in the playoffs. You drafted Myles Garrett, first ballot Hall of Famer, best defensive player, you won 3 games. Do you guys want to still keep running up there, handing these tickets into these offensive defensive linemen like they mean something? They mean nothing unless you get a quarterback. And I'm not prepared to be talking about the Browns all next year and hear people call up to these radio stations and say, well, until we get the quarterback, we can't do anything. And I'm like, no, you know what, Sherlock? Yeah. And so right when we get an opportunity to get the quarterback, next year's the promised land. It's Arch Manning next year. And what fool is giving up the number one pick for Arch Manning? How'd that work with John Elway?
Arch Manning, who, by the way, has thrown 95 passes in his college career.
I thought Quinn Ewers was good before last year. I remember Matt Leinart was the overall pick. Then he dropped to 11 at one point in time. So this thought
process. Baker ascended all the way up to number one overall when people said that guy earlier in the year was like a third day.
We don't know what we're talking about. And all I know is this. If the Cleveland Browns don't win some games this upcoming year, they're all getting fired. Even if you draft Abdul Carter and he has 10 sacks.
The safe pick. Mind you, we just found there was some stuff going on with his feet.
Yeah, just stress fracture. They got the whole juniors, those gosses, doctors on him. And then, Travis Hunter. Like, we could take Travis Hunter. But, are we going to watch Travis Hunter run play action? Like, are we really going up top to Travis Hunter? Are we going to play him both ways like we're supposed to? To me, you take Shedeur Sanders, you put him in, and at least you do one thing. You sell hope. At least you can see that if you get a lottery ticket, it gets you out of purgatory.
Well, there's no doubt. Garrett, they're a far, far more interesting team, not only to watch, but to cover with Shedeur Sanders if they take him at number two. The only thing that I've been really nervous about, because it's not off the field stuff, it's not character stuff, it's not leadership stuff. I think he excels at all that stuff. I think that dude being under the microscope for as long as he is, and having to deal in the social media realm, his team's on 60 Minutes. You know, the fact that entire team, and we all give Deion the credit for it, needed a quarterback. His quarterback was a big part of that. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. I'm just wondering with that the physical limitations. That's the one thing that has had me nervous.
The ceiling.
At number two, yes.
Help
me with that part of it.
Here's what I would rather have. This is my stance after I saw with Deshaun Watson and I've seen all the stuff with the Browns. Give me the guy who understands defenses. Give me a guy who can understand throwing with anticipation, who is accurate, that knows line protection schemes, and can understand high-level concepts. I don't want guys taking 2 or 3 steps and running around. That's not what I want. If I watch Cam Ward, I think Cam Ward's arm is better. I think Cam Ward is a better playmaker. I think Cam Ward might be slightly a better athlete. But here's what I can tell you. I know Shedeur Sanders, even though he got the wrist movement, he do all this and all this fancy stuff. I know he's a traditional drop back passer.
Process faster.
Get the ball out to his receivers. Keep it pushing. And I know he does not turn the football over. So for me, if Kevin Stefanski is the dude, the mastermind that we think he is, why would you not want the most pocket-ready quarterback to be with Kevin Stefanski when you're trying to go back to a certain style of play?
By the way, that is for the most part consensus. That is what everybody's saying, that he does really well. They are nervous about him going backwards when the line breaks down. Mm-hmm. That's also, he had one of the worst lines 2 years ago in college football. Last year, got rebuilt a little bit, wasn't as bad.
Coach him up.
He has some tendencies. He needs to be snapped out. So did Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen had a number. He was in the league. I'll never forget the Josh Allen game here in Cleveland where he looked like he was dead on arrival. He looked like he had no shot. Now he's the second best quarterback in the NFL.
And y'all might not hang your hat on this, but let me tell you this. My dad graduated from HBCU, went to Central State. And let me tell you, he started playing football there, and the program was so bad that he was just like, this is not regular football. When you go to these HBCUs, these programs are, they're almost JV Mac schools. Like, they make Toledo and Bowling Green and Miami look like powerhouses.
So that's Ed Reed.
This man came from an HBCU into a one-win program in Colorado and just almost won the Heisman. That is unheard of. Jerry Rice didn't do that.
I don't think people realize what Walter a significant Payton, accomplishment that is. What,
like, him and another HBCU kid, like, just were in the top five at Heisman. What? That's crazy. And it's only two of them. It wasn't like they were loaded. So, I'll take Shador. Doesn't say he's going to be a Pro Bowler the first year. But if I'm at two, that's where I'm going.
All right. I love it. We got you on record again. I know you've been elsewhere spouting off these opinions. It's good to hear it. In person here. Joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we welcome in Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs, Cleveland Magazine, also has a Substack, The Inside Shot. Danny, thanks for joining us. Garrett Bush is in for Kenny. How you doing, Danny?
Well, how are you guys today?
Good. I'm good. Big discussion after, I know there's still one game left on this West Coast trip, a big discussion about whether or not anything has changed with the Cavs. You know, you got the team talking about having fun, ditching practice for a game of horse. They come out and they struggle again from the field, although they did roll in the second half and got back to the Cavalanche that we know and love also well after the win over Utah yesterday. But overall, Danny, have you changed anything you think about this Cavs team based on that four-game losing streak?
No, not at all. These things happen, and they haven't happened to the Cavs all year because the Cavs have been awesome and everything's been great, but over the course of an 82-game season in the NBA, you're going to see just about every team ever in the history of the league go through stretches like that, and the Cavs have not necessarily played great defense. I thought they were fantastic defensively yesterday against Utah, and they've shot the ball really poorly. They're shooting like 31% from three in their last five games, which is the worst mark in the NBA, and they, of course, are the team that shoots the best percentage from three. So when that is such a big part of your identity and you really do struggle with that, you're going to lose some games. So I don't think that anything has changed. I think that they've gone through a slump. I think that they look like a team that's got heavy legs right now. And I think that part of it, too, is that they've been away from home so frequently this month. They've not had back-to-back home games in the month of March. They won't have back-to-back home games in the month of March. They've spent so much time on the road, and eventually it adds up, not sleeping in your own bed, not being able to go through your normal routine, having to spend so much time traveling, and I think that we're just kind of seeing that catch up with them.
Danny, you know, I look at it, you know, you said they look like they have tired legs. I don't know, is it just me, or I'm a little older, but I'm like, man, like, they haven't been really playing that many minutes. Like, you take a look at the minutes. I thought Kenny has done a good job of making sure nobody is playing heavily minutes over 30 minutes. They've been staggering some of the rest in terms of one game Donovan Mitchell will miss, and then next game Evan Mobley will be out, and then it seems Darius Garland is getting his rest. And they have one of the most productive benches in the game. So for me, it's kind of like, it just seems weird that, like, they're at this point, they would be still kind of tired.
Right, I get that thinking, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it just doesn't ever happen, because it does. And when you have as many games as they have in such a short span, those minutes add up, whether or not they're playing 30 minutes a night or 34 minutes a night. I think that's going to be something that helps them more in the playoffs. And I also think that there's a little bit of a mental fatigue, too. Think about at the start of the season, where the Cavs played 17 games in the first 29 days, they just looked, by the time they got to Boston, they looked exhausted both physically and mentally. And this is a stretch that's really similar to that, except before that stretch, the Cavs had played zero games. Before this stretch, they had played 59 games. So I just think that overall, the length of the season, what they've done so far, I think it's weighing on them physically. I think it's probably weighing on them a little bit mentally. And I think part of it too, guys, is this is a team that's really not playing for anything right now. Like, maybe they finish with the best record in basketball. I don't necessarily think that is something that they care too much about. They've got the one seed all but locked up in the Eastern Conference. Like, it can be hard, I think, to get up for a bunch of these games. Like, and the other part of it too, this isn't just a, oh, the Cavs have struggled out west. How many games in the month of March have they looked good? Like, I can point to the game in Memphis where I thought they
looked great in that game, yeah.
And I don't think it's coincidental that they had 2 days off before that game, which is the only game this month that they've had that. I thought they looked solid against Milwaukee when they went there for that game, and I thought that they were getting up for those games. But I don't know that they're playing any different now, other than three-point shooting being down, than they were at the start of the month. They were just playing worse teams earlier in the month in games that, for the most part, were at home, and I think that's a big difference.
Danny Cunningham joining us right now on the hotline. You know, I've been obviously looking at the guards. I've been posting their numbers since February. Mitchell and Garland, their efficiency has kind of dropped off a cliff. Now, Donovan, I think we know when he gets in the playoffs what he's capable of, and certainly he's been a Boston Celtics killer. Ask any Boston Celtics fan, they are scared you-know-what-less when it comes to Donovan. Darius, on the other hand, has no proven track record come playoff time. Is this regression right to the mean? Because Darius, we were looking at 50-40-90. We were looking at, outside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I said he's the best shooter in the NBA this year. He's been that good. He was better than Steph Curry for most of the season. But things have certainly changed. Is it regression to the mean? What is it with Darius? Is he been battling any kind of injuries we don't know about?
I mean, I don't think that he has necessarily looked the same. And I think, to be fair, he's looked better over the last three or four games that he's played in shooting. I know he was 2 of 8 yesterday, but I thought that he had some.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Some good moments in that game against Utah. I thought that he's had some good moments on this West Coast trip, but I know that he missed the one game. But I don't think that he's necessarily looked the same since he had that pretty nasty ball against the New York Knicks right after the All-Star break and missed a couple of games with his hip. Like, to me, and I haven't gone back and looked at the numbers from, like, February 1st, my sort of starting point with him has been coming back from that hip injury, and I don't think that he's looked the same. His numbers have not been very good, but I do think that with how good he's been this season, I think he's earned a little bit of time to get through this. And ultimately, what he looks like in the middle of March, what he looks like even at the start of April, isn't going to be what matters. It's not going to be what we remember. What he looks like in the postseason, and maybe not even the first round, what he looks like in the second round, what he looks like in the conference finals, those are the things that are going to matter about this team. So whatever Darius Garland needs to go through to get to the point where he's playing his best basketball in the playoffs, I think that Cavs fans should be fine with. Like, that doesn't, he's not somebody that's going to be great every single night for all 82 games, and that has to be okay. He's going to be, he needs to be somebody that can be great in the playoffs, and we'll see if he's capable of doing that.
You know, listen, I think I got a little more, hopefully you get a little more faith in Darius Garland, and you are correct. I believe we'll judge him based on what he's able to do in series against the Knicks or in tough games in seven-game series. For me, one of the glaring issues that I see, and a lot of people, you know, they don't really have a answer for it, except for just saying this is how the Cavs are playing or the preference they have right now. I can't understand for the life of me if you have DeAndre Hunter. The man is 6'8", 6'9". He's longer. He can shoot the ball. He's been shooting very well from the three-point arc. He's been doing a very good job. If you have him in the starting lineup, you have 6'8", 6'11", 7', whatever the case may be in your front line. You do still have the two smaller guards. I don't understand why they, even after they made the move, Max Strus is still starting, and he's 6'4 at best at small forward. When you play in teams like
Danny, he's stealing my act here.
This is crazy. He's 6'4. Like, you got three small guards, and then, like, people always say, well, it's about who ends the game. Well, not if you give Kevin Durant good looks in the first quarter. He's going to be a load all night. I don't understand why they don't. Max Strus can do exactly what he's doing off the bench, and you won't lose anything.
Right. So I think that they're doing this because I think Kenny Atkinson is relying on the data that that starting lineup has put together in the games that they've played throughout the year. I'm with you guys. I think that DeAndre Hunter should be in the starting lineup. I think. But I also don't know that it matters until the conference finals. Like, if you look at how it matters in terms of matchups, there's nobody that I look at in the Eastern Conference that really is super concerning until you get to Boston. But against Boston, like we saw the last time the Cavs played in Boston, what did the Celtics do? They wanted to involve Max Strus in everything. They repeatedly beat him off the dribble, and that was a big reason why Boston started off that game up 25-3 or whatever the score was. I do think at some point in the postseason, we might see that change. That is what I would do if I were in charge. Obviously, I'm not in charge, but I think that Kenny looks at what that group has done together this year, and their net rating has not been nearly as good as of late. But when they made the trade, that group was outscoring opponents by like 30 points per 100 possession. I just think that's kind of the thing that, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it type of thing.
Danny, I've been very hard on Max Strus. I actually think he's played really well recently.
Yes, he has.
I think he is somebody that he's always going to put a body on somebody. He's always going to do those little things. I just know, though, that down the stretch of games, Garrett's already shaking his head. Down the stretch of games, and look, if Kevin Durant is on, nobody's blocking a shot, even though Evan Mobley did get him once, which was incredible to see. Put that on the Defensive Player of the Year highlight reel, even if people think he's been dropping off defensively. I just know that closing games, like they had trouble with not only Kawhi look like old school Kawhi, Kevin Durant look like the Kevin Durant that, you know, beat us in the finals in 2017. You had, who am I think, DeMar DeRozan, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, DeRozan.
And when you close games, even if DeAndre Hunter is back out there, you close games with still Strus, Garland, and Donovan. There's just guys that you can hunt. There's guys can shoot over you. You know, in the Eastern Conference Finals, in the NBA Finals. Like, I think that is the one thing that I think he's going to have his work cut out for him, Atkinson, in figuring things out, because they've been benching Jared Allen at the end of these games, too. What other creativity can they find, especially if it's we're going to do possession for possession, you're going to use timeouts, save them for those situations to go offense or defense?
I think that the best defensive lineup the Cavs could put out in closing time, and this is something that I do think would have to involve doing some of that offense and defense substitution, but I think having all three of Evan Mobley, DeAndre Hunter, and Dean Wade on the floor at the same time is probably the best thing you can do defensively, because you know, we don't think of Dean as a defensive stopper necessarily, but he's one of the best defenders on the team. He's got the length that you're looking for on the perimeter. He can stay in front of guys, even if he does struggle at times to stay in front of somebody. He's got the length to make up for it, and that matters, which is something I think is pretty similar about DeAndre Hunter that a guy like Max Strus doesn't necessarily have. With what Darius and Donovan bring offensively, you know, you're just kind of you are what you are in that spot, but the Cavs have been really, really good when Evan Mobley's playing center and DeAndre Hunter is playing power forward so far this year. If you want to say that he's maybe bumped to the three in that lineup with Dean Wade, okay, that's fine. But like that pairing has been fantastic, and I think that's going to be the pairing that we see a lot of games closed with in the postseason because of how good they've been. And Jarrett Allen, I think, has had a really, really good year. I think that he, maybe more than anybody else, has looked fatigued lately. I thought he was great yesterday, and he's played in every single game the Cavs have had. But the Cavs have closed a lot of games without him, and I don't think that's just something by accident. I think that they recognize that when push comes to shove, they've been a better team with Evan Mobley playing center than Jarrett Allen playing center. Doesn't mean they're not good with Jarrett Allen playing center, but I just think that that's one of those things to keep an eye on when the postseason arrives.
All right, Danny, I know we got to wrap it up. I do want to ask you this, kind of be a something that some people don't care about, but the NBA diehards do, the awards. Okay, so people are making it seem like Evan Mobley is giving up ground. He was the favorite going into the weekend for Defensive Player of the Year, but some people are starting to hype up other guys. You also have Coach of the Year, which I thought Atkinson has pretty much wrapped up, but Bickerstaff now is closing on him, which is a great storyline. You also have All-NBA, first team. People were making the case yesterday that maybe Donovan Mitchell, because of these shooting struggles, is going to fall off that first team, which I thought he was sharpied in at this point. What do you make of any of these races?
I think that the Defensive Player of the Year race, like, is Draymond still a great defender? Yes, and he's obviously the other guy that is in that conversation. Like, he's still awesome, but I think Evan is a better defender at this point. I think Evan has done just as much for his team, and I think that the team success should matter. And listen, Golden State's hot right now. Like, they've been awesome since acquiring Jimmy Butler. How much of that is Draymond Green's a great defender? I don't know. I think people kind of need something to talk about there. And the Coach of the Year one, too, that I look at, say, man, it is what JB has done in Detroit is fantastic. Going from 14 wins to 40 wins is awesome. But doesn't it just feel a lot like the Cavs did the year before they traded for Donovan Mitchell when they went from, I think, 21 wins or 22 wins to 44 wins and lost in the play-in? I obviously, Detroit's going to finish above the play-in, but like it feels a lot like that. I think it's more difficult. Detroit was expected to win. Their preseason total was 25 and a half. I think it's more difficult to go from really good or very good, maybe just good, what the Cavs were last year, to great, which they are now, than bad to good, which is what the Pistons have done. I think Atkinson deserves that award, and I don't necessarily think I need to give it much thought because of how great the Cavs have been. And then first team All-NBA, I think, is going to be really interesting to see who meets the 65-game requirement. I think that what Donovan has done this year, especially things that don't show up in the box score, should matter a lot in that discussion because the Cavs don't go from 48 wins to however many wins in the 60s they end up getting this year without Donovan taking a step back and putting the team first? And has anything changed about who he is? Like, could he still go out and score 30 on any single night? Absolutely. But he doesn't have to do that. I don't think he wants to do that right now. And I think that's something that, just because of the sacrifice that he's made for Evan Mobley, who I think should be an all-NBA player as well, for those guys to step up and become better players than Evan and Darius should not go unnoticed in that discussion.
All right, Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs, Cleveland Magazine, also the Inside Shot Substack. Thanks for joining us, man.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Everything he said there is 100% true. Every team goes through bad stretches. I saw elite Cavs teams that had tough West Coast trips. So none of that was different. I think it's jarring because this Cavs team had been so damn dominant throughout the year. They've beaten everybody. They've just laid waste to so many of the bad teams. They've had these avalanches whenever they feel like they've wanted to. So I agree with everything he said there. With that said, and Garrett Bush is in for Kent Carman, we got Daryl Ryder coming up 11 minutes from now. I will say that seeing what those other teams, playoff-tested guys, did with the games on the line, like Kawhi, seeing DeMar DeRozan even. I mean, I think there are listeners to our show that are like, he's still in the league? Yeah. Yeah, he's still in the league. They traded for him. Remember, he was on, he was wasting away rotting on the Bulls, but he still can get to his spots and all that stuff. So Kawhi and then Kevin Durant. Seeing those guys take over and having the Cavs have zero answers for it, that is how the playoffs kind of work. Like, we could talk about how deep we are. We could talk about how on every given night, you know, with Donovan only playing like 31 minutes a night, the Cavs have so many answers. The playoffs are totally different. And that reminded me of what the playoffs are like.
Thank God. Now I can actually talk to somebody. Because here's the thing. You know, the Cavs, I get it. They've been such a nice story. They've been so dominant. It's been a refreshing thing to see. Playing a lot of people, playing right basketball. We've got to the point on Twitter and some of these other platforms where we got these rose-colored glasses that if you say anything, the Cavs need to you know, tighten up on this, or they need to figure out what the rotation is on this. Oh, you guys are just so hyperbolic. This team has been great all year. It happens. It's the NBA. Listen, that sounds good. But y'all could go over there in the corner. And you could be fans, but we're going to talk X's and O's. Because you'll be the same guys that come around when the playoffs hit. It's a different game set. It's a different game. I you know, the thing is, and people have been saying it, in February, Jared Allen's a monster. And then when you start getting to April and May, you got Zubac getting 30 points and 20-something rebounds. That's Zubac. That's not like... You know, that's not a big dog. That ain't a cat giving you them points. Like, that's Zubac that gave you them buckets. So it's one of those things where I just hope that the Cavs realize, because there are other switches other teams hit. Playoff KD, playoff Kawhi, playoff LeBron. You know what Tatum and Brown going to bring to the table. What is our playoff mentality? It can't be, hey, we lost a tough game, let's play horse. That's not going to get it done. You're going to have some adjustments. And just like when the Cavs don't win in 2016, they made a very astute observation. They said, you know what? We love you, Kev. We love you. We tried to get you the ball every play at the beginning of the game. But if we're going to beat the Warriors, that closing lineup is looking like LeBron and Tristan Thompson. And we sorry. And I don't know if Kenny is able to do that type of thing. Are you able to say I'm sorry to somebody that ain't going to be able to play that rotation?
I think it's a great point. Max Strus, every number that's available indicates that they are better with Max Strus on the floor. But so regular season numbers, playoffs can be so different. And I'm watching Kevin Durant hunt that. He can search for either Darius. He can shoot over all of them, really.
All of
but,
them.
But when it came down to it the other night, it was like, all right, I got Max Strus on me, 18-footer, and I don't even see him. It's not even in my window.
I saw it, even when Hunter's on him, like he had the shot hand that was going between his arms. Like, that shot hand where it's just like, nope, I can elevate over anybody. I'm going to get that off.
Yeah, Kawhi did the same thing. Kawhi really went after Donovan Mitchell and hounded Donovan on the other end too. And I looked at that and I'm just like, man, I know that Donovan and Darius are not shooting the ball well. So I expect that to come back. but you're reminded why it's really tough for teams with small guards to go really deep. Now, I do want to know, like, the one team that I'm looking at going, well, they're not good. Cavs are better. Cavs are so much better than Milwaukee. But could Giannis do that to the Cavs in a seven-game series? The guy is top three MVP almost every year for, like, 7 years. Is Giannis going to look at the Cavs and go, I've actually been through the gauntlet. These guys haven't.
You don't think...
Not to mention Dame Lillard and his playoff heroics over the years.
You don't think him and Dame sitting there on a group chat watching the Cavs late in the season be like, dude, if we see these dudes, we ain't worried about this. They looking at that because Giannis can completely dominate physically and Dame can go shot for shot and he can get to the free throw line. Like, those guys know what it is. Like, and that's the thing. That's what we're anxious to see about the Cavs. Are they going to come in and assert their dominance and say, we got another level too?
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.